So this past Sunday for our sunrise service, we had a couple of audio difficulties at the church. Sorry about that. So we didn't get some of the early part of that sunrise service message recorded. And so I get to come out here under the pergola and record that first part, and then I'm just going to sync it back up, and we're going to rejoin the service as it happened in the church that morning. So I want you to be able to get the full scope of where we've been and where we're going in the message. So we're doing that here outside in God's beautiful creation. Now, we've been going through this series called All In, where we've got all kinds of different people from different walks of life, and yet they all form together to make one church. And so that's what we've been doing. And last week, we talked about how a problem can actually lead us to give us an opportunity to praise. And then that praise gives us the opportunity to relinquish our power. Well, now we're kind of going to flip that on its head and look at how a problem, actually the biggest problem that Christians have to look at, the cross, how that problem led to a great opportunity for praise. And now it gives power to those who trust in Christ. This is the reality of Easter. So this Sunday, Easter morning, we come together to celebrate not the fact that Jesus was crucified, but the fact of his resurrection. And it is that truth that allows us to take that profound problem for Christianity, turn it into a great occasion for praise, and then in the twist of God's divine mercy, he gives us power when we trust in Christ. He gives us the power to be his witnesses. And so we're meeting just after sunrise to look at this morning people who came to the tomb just before sunrise, mourning the death of Jesus. And so their struggles are going to be a question that is posed to us. What are you seeking? Will you pray with me real quick? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for the blood that he shed. But more than that, Father, we thank you for why he shed that blood and the promise that you have given to us in Christ by the resurrection has given us hope. Now, Father, by your Holy Spirit, give us wisdom as we read your word. Teach us. And God, give us eyes to see and ears to hear from you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, will you read with me? We're going to be in Mark chapter 16 first, and then we're going to move on to John chapter 20. So, Mark chapter 16, starting in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And now we go over to John's gospel, where we get to see his account of these events. Starting in verse 1. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Now, in this passage, we're going to draw out three questions for us, three questions that they may have struggled with at this point in time. And we're going to place those questions on us. And the first question is this: are you seeking comfort? We know that the women were seeking comfort. That's why they came to the tomb so early. Think about how we do that in our own lives. Think about memorial services or funeral services. When we do these things, we know that they're not for the dead. They're for us. They're for the living, so that we can remember those that we loved, that we care for. There are all kinds of things in this culture that we go to for comfort. We may go to food. We may go to relationships or substances, ideas. We can go to activities for comfort. Well, they comfort in a sense. These comforts may fill, but they don't satisfy. They may distract us from having to think about how we are disquieted in our spirits, but they don't alleviate that need for comfort. Only Christ provides comfort beyond circumstance. What did Jesus say in Matthew 5? He said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So it doesn't mean that mourning, that suffering will be done away with, but that we will be comforted even in the midst of those things. Are you seeking answers? Because there's all kinds of answers out there. I mean, we can do a Google search, right? Google knows everything. But what Google doesn't say is how to discern what we find. There are all kinds of answers out there, but are they true? See, Matthew 28, 12 through 15 tells us the picture of how many people came to the tomb. Many people saw these different events. We have the guards, we have the women, we have the disciples. Is seeing really believing? As skeptical culture would tell us today, well, if I see these things, I will believe. The guards saw, they didn't believe. Even the women saw, and they didn't believe. The disciples saw. First they heard, and they didn't believe. And they had to see it for themselves. And then, man, maybe this is true. Maybe this is real. Are you seeking answers? Because if Christ is in fact risen, as all of the historical evidence points us to, the implications are huge. His words for us serve as a proof that is proved upon proof by the resurrection from the grave. It proves the cross is real. It proves the reason why he went to the cross. And it demands an answer of us. Will you believe the truth, or will you doubt? What about this morning? Are you here seeking the truth? Truth isn't relative.
I hate to fill you in on this. This is another thing that our culture says. We might say it like, well, that's your truth, or that may be true for you, but it's not true for me. I'm sorry to break it to you, but when people say that, what they're talking about is opinion. Truth is truth for every person, for every culture, for every place, for every time in history, or it's not true. You remember at one point in time there were people that believed that the earth was flat? Was that true for them? Well, it was true for them at the time, right? That's what they thought. But was it ever true? No. It was never true. See, truth does not change. Opinion does. Opinion is subjective. Opinion changes. Truth is steadfast. But as we see from the cross, as we see from the disciples, as we see from their experiences, we see that the truth doesn't always take away fear. Doesn't always take away the consequences of that truth. The disciples stood on the authority of the resurrection. This happened. You can search these things out. You can talk to the people who saw him alive again. And yet they died for it. Truth is worth standing up for. It may not take away our fear in the moment, but it will help us stand in the midst of our fear. What did the angel say in Luke chapter 24, verses 5 through 11, when we're looking through that account? The angel says something very potent for us this morning as well. Why are you here? Why are you looking for the living among the dead? So what are you doing here this morning? Are you here to seek the living among the dead? Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. This is fact. It is something that no myth counter argument stands up to. They can't stand under scrutiny. The resurrection stands under scrutiny. So are you seeking the risen Christ this morning? Because in Christ there is comfort no matter what you're facing. There are answers to life's deepest questions of who we are, why we're here, what our purpose is, and where we're heading. There are answers. And lastly, in Christ, we find the truth. He is the truth. He tells us, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me, except through me. It is exclusive, and we should not hide from that because it's not something that we say. It is the very truth of God. It is the very power of God. We do not shrink back from this truth under opposition. We proclaim this truth because this truth means that our sins are not the end of us. Our sins, as heinous as they are before a holy God, are nailed to the cross, and they are paid for by the blood of the Savior. Now, during this next song, we encourage you to take your slips of paper with your sins and tape them to the cross. Leave them there this morning. And we're going to show you visibly in our next service how they are taken care of in Christ. They are paid for. It is finished, Christ said right before he died. And why are they finished? Not because of the cross, but because of the resurrection. It is finished.